Insight on Business the NewsHour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. FocusandFind.com.
Welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you are with us again today. And we have a returning guest to our microphones. His name is Steve McCullough. Steve is the CEO of Iowa Student Loan Liquidity Corporation. You might also know it as ISL Education Lending. Steve, welcome back. Good to see you, my friend.
It's good to see you, too. Thanks for having me.
It has been a long time.
It's been a while.
Pre-pandemic, we must say.
Right. So it's nice to be back.
It is nice to be back. And your business, the student loan business, has just been upended.
There's a lot going on these days. So, you know, one of the things that's going on is that the interest rates for parents that borrow for the remainder of their kids' college education through the federal program, the PLUS loan program, have gone way up.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's differentiate what we're talking about.
Okay.
There are loans that kids can get
right.
to go to school, right? And then there are loans that parents get on top of that
right.
to make the difference in that loan arrangement, right?
So parents that have kids in school right now will appreciate this. They get an award letter from the college, and that letter will say, here's how much it's going to cost. Here's how much is covered by grants and scholarships. Then here's how much the student can borrow through the federal direct loan program, the traditional government program for students. Then it comes down to a bottom line and says, but here's the remainder
right.
of what you have to pay. And that's the point where parents panic because they say, how are we going to pay that? And their suggestions, you know, pay for it out of your savings, whatever you can afford to pay out of your current income, or parents, you can borrow the remainder of that money. And there's several ways you can borrow that money. One is through a federal program called the PLUS loan, parent loan for undergraduate students. But the kicker is it's not as good of a loan as the loan for students. Still a federal loan, but not as good of a loan.
So in other words, the interest rate is higher?
Interest rate and fees. It charges a 4% upfront fee, which is, you know, unheard of for that amount. They aren't required to issue what's called an APR, the all-in cost of the loan, annual percentage rate. But we estimate that after the current rate increase, it's going to be about 8.5% APR, which is a really high interest rate for a loan these days. And it just so happens that the loans in our program, the state program, the partnership loan program, are significantly less expensive. The highest APR we offer is 7.4%.
Mm.
So if you were a parent and you borrowed $10,000, over the life of the loan, you could save $1,000 by borrowing through the state program, the partnership loan program, through ISL Education Lending, just because of the high interest rate that's been established for this next year for the Federal PLUS program.
And that's important for family planning purposes financially. Looking towards the future, because those loans don't necessarily go away, do they?
They don't. They aren't necessarily released in bankruptcy. If there's a severe hardship, they are. But you have now parents reporting that they're in retirement and they're still paying on the PLUS loans for their kids' college education.
I have a friend who is an attorney, and she, by the way, has been out of Drake University for years. She still owes like $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's been out for 20 years.
Yes, it's significant. Part of that is that in the federal program now, they offer very lenient repayment programs where you can pay over 30, 40 years. But of course, you're paying interest that entire time as well. So the total amount you pay on your loans ends up being a lot more than if you'd paid it back more quickly. But people are attracted to that because the monthly payment is so much
sure.
lower.
Sure.
But what they don't understand is, yes, that may help your current cash flow, but it hurts you in the long run because you have to pay for so much longer and you pay so much more interest.
ISL, Education Lending. Steve McCullough is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. We're in Iowa having this conversation, and you referenced Iowa a couple of times. But if my understanding is correctly, you can lend to people outside of the state of Iowa. Is that correct?
We can and we do. So, as you know, there are a lot of people from outside of Iowa that come to Iowa to go to college.
Sure.
But there are people in surrounding states that also find out about us, and they can borrow from us, too. Particularly people coming from Illinois and Nebraska. They hear about Iowa student loan. Many of the colleges in those states tell them about us because we offer such low interest rates, and we are very transparent about our loans, too. People can know before they even apply what their interest rate is going to be. And that's, and among private student loans, that's unheard of to have somebody be that transparent.
Really? And we failed to mention this is a nonprofit entity, correct?
That's right. So we try to do the very best we can for people. It's one of the reasons we offer lower rates. And we also try and help them as much as we can, including on the front end. You know, part of our mission is to convince people to borrow less money and find ways to do that. And believe it or not, there are ways to get through college without borrowing tremendous amounts of money. But you just have to be non-traditional about it. You have to be willing to work while you're in college to pay for part of it. You should try and earn credits, college credits, while you're in high school, because you don't have to pay anything for that. You have kids now that are graduating from high school with 2 years worth of college without having paid a dime for
right.
it. There's other things you could do. You can take community college classes that cost less money. So there are a number of things you can do to hold down the cost and borrow less money.
Let's talk about college education in total. I mean, when I went, it was much cheaper. And when you went, it was much cheaper. There are some considerations for a family and a student to think about long term.
There are. And we really want families to be good, wise consumers of education because it's very expensive. So like any other very expensive decision, you need to be very careful with it and make sure that it's going to have a payoff for you and that you're going to be able to have a good outcome because it's going to be a substantial investment. It's going to be a substantial investment of your net worth. A significant amount of your net worth is going to go toward paying for that college education. So obviously you want to make sure that that outcome will also result in a good career, good paying job, so that basically that money that you invested pays back.
So you have to be not only a wise consumer of everything, but also cognizant of what you want to do in the future. And is that job or that career going to pay back enough money that you can pay off your loans?
Right.
Yeah.
So we really encourage people to go into college with a plan.
Yeah.
With a targeted career that they want to have after they graduate. And then to go for the education that will empower them
sure.
to get that career. So it used to be that, you know, several years ago, that students would really do a lot of career planning while they're in high school to know what they wanted to be in their first career.
Right.
Then they would talk about, well, what post-secondary education do I need to get? We really encourage people to go back to that because particularly if there are folks that are going to have to borrow a lot of money, this is critical and critical decision-making to make sure that you can have that good outcome from college and you're not buried under debt that you can't possibly repay.
A couple of things that we've just glossed over a bit. Let's say you go to the University of Iowa. All right, what's a four-year degree cost these days on average?
So depending on how you decide to do your living expenses, if you just looked at the estimated cost of attendance now, for 4 years, it's like $80,000.
Wow. And that's if that's 4 years.
Right. That the issue that we have, people always ask me, how do people end up with such big student loans? Well, if you go for 6 years instead of four, you're paying a third more. And you're borrowing a third more. And that, unfortunately, that's happening quite a bit these days. The average now is 4.5 to 5 years to graduation. And it's not uncommon for people to be going for 6 years. As a matter of fact, the statistics that are quoted now by college are graduation rates after 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes. And that's because, you know, if you want to get to the majority of people that graduate, you have to include up to 6 years of time of attendance.
Wow. And that gets extremely expensive. What about trade schools and community colleges and things that people can go and get a career, a high-paying career, by the way, and not sink a lot of money into 4-year degree.
So that is a very viable alternative for people to consider. And what they need to understand is now there's even certificate programs, short-term certificate programs that lead to good-paying jobs. So what you want to do is understand the entire span of the opportunities that are out there and give serious consideration to each of them. The other thing to consider is that, you know, your career is going to be a lifelong adventure. People these days end up having 7 different jobs in their career. Sure. So all you're really talking about is your first job. And it's completely viable to say, you know what, I'm going to go to the community college. I'm going to get this 2-year degree that leads to this good paying job. I'm going to get my feet underneath me, become financially independent, and then I'll think about going on and getting my 4-year degree and transitioning to another job. So it doesn't have to be the case where students graduate from college, they go or high school, go directly into a 4-year program at a college or university, and then after that try and seek their first job. It doesn't have to be done that way. And I think that's the message that I don't want to give to all families out there these days. Come up with what's best for you. You don't have to follow the crowd. You don't have to do it the way that everybody else does it. Do what's best for your student.
And you've mentioned a couple of times, Steve McCullough, about families being involved in this. I mean, these are pretty hefty decisions for a 17 or 18-year-old person to make. I mean, they don't necessarily allow you to do a lot of things until you're 21 years old, right, let alone 17 or 18 years old. So having the family interaction in this and sitting down and having these discussions is paramount to building the future success, yes?
Yes, and as a nonprofit, we offer a service. It's called Student Planning Pointers for Parents. It's a mouthful. We say SP3 for short. What that is starting in 8th grade, we're sending 2 emails a month to parents that say, here are things you should be talking to your student about right now. And it is calendared throughout their entire time from 8th grade to senior year to help the parents be empowered with the information they need to have those conversations. There's even a checklist of talking points
really
for that conversation. And it's everything that you would expect. It's from here's how to start adulting and making adult decisions to here's how you do career planning and try and figure out what career might be right for you. Financial planning, here's how to make a budget. Here's how to learn to save. So it's the entire span of what young people are going to need to make good decisions about their future.
So this is far more than walking in and making an application for a student loan.
Right.
This is really an education on how to successfully, hopefully, plan for your college education and career.
Right. And not only that, we incent people to
really
do this. Every quarter, we do drawings for $250 deposits into 529 college savings plans. So we're incenting parents. If they use this service and if they respond to the emails, their name gets thrown into the hat for drawings for savings for their college education.
ISL Education Lending, and we're going to have links to all of this, ladies and gentlemen, up on the radio blog so you can find out more about what Steve McCullough is talking about. Let's go back to the cost of education. You've been doing this a long time. What have you seen some of the biggest changes over the past 5 or 6 years?
So the biggest change is just what we call the gap. The gap is the difference between the total cost that families have to pay and the amount of aid that's available. So what's happened is the amount that is available in scholarships and grants, the amount that's available in student borrowing has grown, but not that much compared to the cost of college. So the cost of college has gone way up, while the increase in aid available has only gone up slightly. That's created this bigger gap that families have to pay the rest of the bill. That's the reason why borrowing levels have gone up so drastically. It's because that gap of filling the rest of the cost of college has increased so dramatically.
One of the things that we're experiencing nationwide, of course, is the fight against inflation. And the central bank has raised interest rates 0.75% recently. They're looking at another 0.75% interest rate in July. How does that affect the interest rates that that you offer or the government offers?
Well, for the longest time, we have been encouraging families to take out fixed rate student loans so they can lock in their rate. That is more important than ever as rates are going up. There are some families that thought, oh, that variable rate looks lower, I should take that. Well, that's going to start to hurt now because those variable rates are going to go up. The other thing is that now it's really going to matter. That interest component of your loan is going to become a lot more expensive. So it's going to be all the more important to pay attention to the interest rate on the loans that you're taking. That goes back to my original comment today about the differentiation between the rates that we're offering on our state program and the federal program. Because as I said, it can be real money. The interest portion of your loan can be a substantial portion of your total payment. So that's why you've got to really pay attention to it as rates are rising.
On the whole, a nonprofit like your organization versus out there in the marketplace, what percentage of student loans do nonprofits like Iowa Student Loan have versus wherever else you can get a loan?
Well, the big for-profit lenders have the majority the market share. We probably make somewhere between 10 and 20% if you look at the nonprofits. But honestly, we're a really good alternative, and people need to check to see if they have a state-based lender, nonprofit lender like Iowa Student Loan. Whatever the state they're in, because there's 30 other programs like ours that are state-based that tend to offer lower-cost loans. It's our nonprofit mission. That's why we're here. And so it's important that people are aware that those programs exist so they can access them and then hopefully save money on the interest on their loans.
Sure. Steve McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. We've been talking about the cost of education, not only in dollars and cents, but also in maturity levels at the same time. Final question for you, Steve. As you look to the future, I mean, we're seeing interest rates continue to go up. Cost of education is continuing to go up. Where's the breaking point for families where they should be looking maybe at alternative ideas?
Well, it's already happening. And, you know, it's one of the things that really was kind of frame breaking about the pandemic. Because during the pandemic, many colleges had to go to 100% online. And then that caused rethinking on the part of students and parents of, well, wait a second. Maybe this is a way we should always do education. Maybe we should look at online programs. Since the pandemic, online higher education enrollment has gone way up because people figured out they could do it that way. And they also figured out that it was less expensive because they don't have the on-campus living expense component.
That's expensive.
So that's one of the shifts. I think that's what you'll see in the future. Alternative programs, and not just the four-year on-campus living experience, you'll see more and more people consider those.
Steve McCullough, ladies and gentlemen, has been our guest. He is ISL Education Lending, also known as the Iowa Student Loan Liquidity Corporation. Steve, thanks so very much. You know, these are always such interesting conversations to have with you because you've got your finger on the pulse of not only the education world out there, which is getting more expensive, but also some real common sense answers and solutions for parents and students moving forward. So thank you very much. I really appreciate this.
Well, thank you for having me.
Once again, that is the voice of Steve McCullough, the CEO of ISL Education Lending. And yes, we will have links to that company up on our radio blog. And remember, this is not necessarily just for Iowans. People from other states can enjoy the same benefits through ISL Education Lending. Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the Business News. Thanks so very much for joining us. For all of us that put this together each and every day, Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing, Aaron Libby. The voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now was arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those people and for Steve McCullough, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful. Most of all, be good to your fellow man. Good day.